Start to the season at Corteva.us/ResiCorRev.
I am James, Senior Apparel Designer, and this is Behind the Design with Hawks. Hawks is your classic workwear brand. It's designed for those guys that are on the job site. Just driven performance, just rugged and comfortable. Thinking of durability, everything is either double, triple stitched, bar tacked. It's built durable. It's going to perform. It's going to move with you. It's going to have everything that you need in a product. Hawks, only at Boot Barn.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever. That's four lines on unlimited welcome for just $25 a line per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. You'll also get the new iPhone 16 Pro, four of them for the entire family, when you trade in up to four phones from our top brands. That's a new phone for everyone, only on the network you can count on. Verizon. Visit a store today. 20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply for phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a midnight deadline looming for a government funding to run out. The Senate now looks like it has the votes to approve the House passed measure to extend funding.
As progressive activists clamor for Democrats not to cave, the Senate minority leader says he begrudgingly won't stand in the way of the continuing resolution.
Clearly, this is a Hobson's choice. The CR is a bad bill.
Chuck Schumer argues that a shutdown would kick DOGE-related furloughs into overdrive. The House-passed bill funding the government through the end of September needs 60 votes to clear the Senate, an outcome that's now expected ahead of the midnight deadline. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
Measles cases as of March have already topped total cases in 2024 nationwide. The outbreak in Texas and New Mexico alone have a combined 294 cases compared to 285 cases total nationwide last year. Severe storms on the march across parts of the Midwest and South this weekend. This is ABC News. A large study released this week shows there is no link between the COVID vaccine and birth defects.
In a new paper highlighting the safety of both the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, researchers analyzed more than 78,000 pregnant women and found getting the COVID shot early in pregnancy is not associated with an increased risk of major birth defects in infants. The birth defect rate was nearly the same in both vaccinated and unvaccinated women. The study also found there were no differences in the babies of those who actually got COVID while pregnant and those who didn't. The study published in the journal Pediatrics. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Alan Simpson, the former senator for Wyoming, has died at the age of 93. Simpson was a moderate Republican who was also hawkish about government spending. He crossed the aisle often and was co-chair of a bipartisan deficit commission during Barack Obama's presidency. He was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by then President Biden in 2022. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayla. The role of outside money in the race for state Supreme Court was debated by the candidates last night at Marquette University. Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel was asked about Elon Musk's funding of his campaign.
It is expensive and it's difficult to get your message out on the airwaves to all the voters of Wisconsin, but there's a difference here. My opponent was supported by George Soros.
Schimmel says Soros is dangerous, Dane County Judge Susan Crawford on Musk.
He has now spent over $10 million on my opponent's race. He has basically taken over Brad Schimmel's campaign.
Crawford said Musk has pledged to nationalize the Wisconsin race. Spending in the race has reached record-breaking levels.
Numbers tallied by Wisp Politics show nearly $59 million has been spent for advertising in the race between Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel and Dane County Judge Susan Crawford. Well, that tops the roughly $56 million spent during the 2023 Supreme Court campaign. Wisp Politics tracked more than $33.3 million in support of Schimmel and $25.5 million on behalf of Crawford. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
As expected, the Wausau City Council voted to override Mayor Doug Dinney's veto of a resolution supporting Medicaid funding. Council President Lisa Rasmussen.
Decisions that come from the state and federal level absolutely affect our operations and our budgets directly. We cannot have people not getting care. We can't have people not being allowed to stay in nursing homes because they're not getting benefits.
Dinney says he's not opposed to Medicaid.
I feel that we need to stick to city business, and that was the point of my vote.
The resolution returns to Dinney for consideration. If he doesn't sign, it can be forwarded to lawmakers in Madison and Washington without his signature. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Warm and windy today. With gusts approaching 30 miles per hour, it'll shove us to highs in the mid-70s. And with spring-like conditions, bring spring storms. Those move in late tonight. They could be strong to severe with hail and high winds. Then tomorrow, occasional light rain. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Grain markets finished up a choppy week with a mixed price performance. Corn and wheat were lower, with the bean market leaning to the upside. The lean hog market held on to moderate gains through the close, with the cattle complex pushing higher on the strength in cash trade.
Live from the front side of the encroaching wind via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll wrap up the week with a conversation with Jeff Hogendorn from Professional Ag Marketing. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, the wind has arrived for some people. The strongest gusts right now in the Panhandle area, Texas, Oklahoma, over into central Oklahoma, southern Kansas, also seeing some 60-plus on the wind gusts, but all across the Midwest right now, we're looking at 35 to 40 mile an hour wind gusts. It is an impressive system that is making its way across the country, no doubt about it.
Absolutely. We've got, so we're, 71 degrees here currently. The wind is making it feel cooler, as it says here. Wind gusts up to 26 here. Oh, gusts up to 44 miles per hour on the winds here. We've already got a limb down, though, in the backyard. Missed the wife's car. But we do have a limb down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's happening. You're only 71?
Yep, that's correct.
We've got 76 up here in northeast Iowa. You know, I kind of felt like maybe we were going to challenge that 80-degree level today, but nah, I think we're pretty close to maxed out. So it's just a crazy, crazy weather day. There's no doubt.
I feel, and I almost kind of feel like the cooler, the better. You know, heat is energy. Mm-hmm. And if you know, if you're at 85, 90 degrees today, you might be looking at a real stinker. Maybe you're right where you need to be. I don't know.
Holy smokes, man. Yeah. You said that like you had a class in meteorology at some major university.
As a matter of fact, it was at Iowa's premier University, the University of Northern Iowa State. where I attended Climatology 101. Yep.
Okay. Well, good. It's paying off right now, man.
So far.
It's paying off.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis Michelson, and we are going to have a conversation with Jeff Hoogendorn from Professional Ag Marketing. He's up in southwest Minnesota. We'll find out what he is learning from the people that he works with, and we're going to start with cattle because holy smokes, Davis.
Yeah.
This cash cattle, it took a while to develop this week, and I kind of felt like we were going to slide into the weekend without much direction.
Uh-huh.
But that was wrong. That was wrong. We got some direction from the cash cattle. We'll talk about it with Jeff coming up here in just a little bit.
Terrific. So. Okay.
All right. You ready? Let's get started.
I'm ready. Let's start with July soft red winter wheat futures, which posted an inside trading day with a high range open and a low range close. The contract traded on both sides of 580 again today and failed to close above resistance for a second consecutive session. Selling was limited in hard red winter wheat futures with high winds and warm, dry conditions expected over the near term in the central and southern plains. There are increasing concerns about HRW crop conditions as it starts to green up. July HRW wheat futures were 2 cents lower at 5.98¾. July soft red down 5¼ cents to 5.73. July spring wheat futures closed at 6.16½. Chip, that's down a penny and a quarter today.
Yeah. Okay. You know, we should also mention that in the wheat market did feel some of the influence of the tariff and trade talks this week. There's no question about it. The dollar has been under pressure. That should have been limiting some of the selling pressure on wheat. But on the week, mm-hmm. we had July SRW wheat futures up 7.5 cents. July HRW futures, because of those concerns in the central and southern plains, up 21.5 cents, wow. and July spring wheat futures this week up 10¼.
Well, we'll take every bit of that.
You bet.
USDA this morning announced the sale of nearly 219,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery to unknown destinations in the current marketing year. South Korea has been active in the global corn market this week, picking up supplies from the U.S., South America, and South Africa. General uncertainty about how U.S. tariffs and retaliatory measures against the United States will impact export demand for corn has drained some buying interest out of the corn market. July corn today opened lower, near session highs. Prices then slipped to spike support at yesterday's low before recovering to post a mid-range close. May corn futures 6¾ lower, 4.58½. July corn down 4¾ to 4.67½. December corn futures closed at 4.51, down 1¼ cents. Chip.
Yeah, the bear spreads were working in the corn market this week. We had more weakness in the old crop contracts than we did the new crop contracts. July corn on the week down 8¼ cents. December corn down just 3¼ cents.
Well, Chip, July soybean futures posted an inside trading day with a low range open and a high range close. Bean prices followed gains in soybean oil after mid-morning to end higher on the day. USDA this morning announced the sale of 20,000 metric tons of U.S. soybean oil for delivery to unknown destinations. Export demand for soybean oil has been much better than many expected, but bean oil prices drifted lower again this week. July bean oil today posted an inside trading day with the market trying to find support around the 42-cent level. Rains in Argentina this week stabilized crop conditions there as the harvest in Brazil advances. May beans 5¼ cents higher today, 10.16. July beans up a nickel, 10.30. November beans closed at 10.18, up 6¼ cents.
Okay. July soybeans on the week down 8¾ cents. November beans down 7.5 cents. Okay, so a little bit of bear spreading happening there. But look at the product spreading. July soybean meal on the week was up $2.10. July bean oil was down 182 points. So they're favoring the long side of the meal, short side of oil.
Yeah. Well, December cotton futures opened on session lows, rallied to close near the high of the week, Chip. December cotton all told today, 78 points higher, 69.98, buddy.
Yeah, good week. Up 152 points on the week. So moving in the right direction.
Well, let's go to the livestock. Boxed beef demand slowed this morning with heavyweight choice graded beef down $1.82. Still, the cash cattle market showed impressive strength. Nebraska's carcass trade was up as much as $9 earlier today, and that helped support fat cattle futures. April live cattle, $1.12.5 higher, $2.03.17.5. April feeder futures up $1.22.5 to $2.81.20. And over to the snout side, where April lean hog futures posted an outside trading range with a close above the opening range. April lean hogs up a dollar to $86.62.5. The June hogs a dime higher, $96.30, Chip.
Yeah, I saw that Michelle Rook posted on her Twitter feed that some cash trade carcass basis in Nebraska up at 3.25. It's just hard to believe 3.25 on that carcass market out there is pretty doggone impressive. Like you said, up $9 on the week. Now, on the week in futures trade, April live cattle futures up $2.90. April feeder cattle futures up $3.05. And April lean hog futures, even with a good finish today, down 72.5 cents. We're going to talk more about that cattle trade. That's where we are going to start the conversation with today's guest analyst. We've got Jeff Hogendorn from Professional Ag Marketing up in Southwest Minnesota coming our way next here on AgriTalk.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive. Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Day one.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.56% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk. Bro, my recycling bin is on the move. I just heard it. It usually just lives right outside my window here, and I heard it scraping across the concrete. It's making a break for it. He's headed down the driveway.
Holy smokes. Well, you might want to go get that. That's nothing that you want left in the middle of the street for any period of time.
It's a safety issue. Yeah.
That's right. Welcome back. I'm Chip. That is Davis.
I'll be right back.
Okay. I'll give you a little time for that. Jumping on with us right now is today's guest analyst, Jeff Hogendorn from Professional Ag Marketing up in Laverne, Minnesota. Jeff, it's good to talk to you again. How are you, man?
We're doing pretty good up here, Chip. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on again. And I guess just waiting for the weather to roll in, huh?
Yeah. Has the wind started to blow up your way?
This is Minnesota, Chip. It never stopped blowing.
That's true. That is very, very true. I got you, man. Hey, let's start with the cattle trade. Because all week long, the comments were, waiting on direction from the cash market, waiting on it. Even this morning, there was still, hey, we're still waiting on direction. Well, they got some direction in the afternoon, didn't they?
Yeah, they sure did. And, we'll talk more about it here on the show. But it's just been a really interesting market to watch here the last couple of weeks. And I think there's some things that we can apply from this cattle market as we watch it react to the different trade news and really the equities side of the things and the overall economic concerns and see how they're weighing on particular markets. I think the cattle market's a great one to study for that. So as you mentioned, starting on Tuesday already, Packers started really expressing some interest in, hey, what do you guys got for cattle? Make sure you give me a shot at it. So, out in the feedlots, we're like, boy, this could get really interesting, on the backs of last week's higher cash trade also, right? So you start to think, okay, what's the underlying supply really look like here? And then it really was quiet. And that's why the market kind of had some sideways action for a few days there. And it's like, okay, well, maybe these guys aren't going to come to the table yet. But they did not disappoint today, did they?
No. No, exactly. What did you hear for cash trade?
Yeah, I heard you quoting some 325 stuff. I think we've seen some bids probably on some higher quality cattle be just a little bit higher than that in the meat. And I think that's pretty much across the board. Everybody's got it. 205 to 206 on the live basis there too, Chip. I mean, everybody's participant today, and that's a big deal as to who all wants them and how many do they want,
And it's a question of just how many of the right kind of cattle are available out there right now, and supply tightness is nothing new to this market, but when the available supply of the right kind of cattle is a moving target, it makes it just that much tougher to manage the flow of beef through the system, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Everybody's excited about the primes. And we can really launch into a big discussion on that too. It just seems like, this is not new information probably, but it just seems like the U.S. consumer is a long ways from being out of money, Chip. Yeah. I mean, we just can't get our hands on enough beef. And when you take the weights combined with, the lower numbers, we're really not putting out less product when it's all said and done. And we're certainly not putting out less high choice and prime product when you compare us to a year ago and 2 years ago. But for some reason, the U.S. consumer has got money, and they want to spend it. They're spending it on really high quality beef.
Yeah. Jeff, there's you look at what's going on with the steak prices, the real high end stuff, the ribeyes, the T-bones, the strips. The retail price on those steaks have barely moved. There's been some up and down, But we're basically at the same price at the retail level that we were 3 years ago. And I, with everything yep. else moving like it is, I think there's a perceived quality, not quality isn't the right word, a perceived value at beef just simply because the steak price hasn't moved around much. That's got to be what's going on.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. So that's a good point. I'm talking more about what's going on the backside of the packing plant. You're going all the way to the retail shelf, and those are really good points because we maybe just started the fourth quarter of last year, and now first quarter of this year, we are slowly eking those retail prices up a little bit. But I tell you what, you can watch the sales on these steak prices, and you can certainly get meat at the same prices that you did 2 and 3 years ago.
Right.
So there's a quality item there. It's also we've discussed this a lot with different market participants, and there's a beef will drive people into the store.
Yep.
So what's one of the we use beef a lot as a demand indicator. And, one of the things that we're going to watch next is, and that demand indicator can be much broader than just beef. We certainly all protein and even beyond that, in my opinion. But, one of the things we're watching, we're getting into spring again. Weather's warming up, obviously, quite nicely. What's happening to those middle meats? Are they starting to go up in value? And we started to see that take place here in the past 5 to 6 trading days where we're slowly eking them up. I know this morning's report was lower, so maybe we won't end the week quite as well as what we where we were sitting, kind of midweek. Mm-hmm. But it looks to me like we're going to see some pretty nice removal from the retail stores. On to your point, it's not more expensive, but it's still the most expensive
exactly.
way to get protein.
Yep, no doubt. Okay, you know what? I said something that I say way too often, and what I said was, we know what the supply situation is, and you know what? We really don't. We've got a good idea of what the trend is and everything, but there's going to be some bumps and some holes that we're going through on total cattle supplies here. Do you see anything happening that we need to be aware of there, Jeff?
Well, I think that story is really interesting right now because, like you're saying, we know we're down on numbers. We're just starting to get into some lower numbers. Like the actual fed cattle supply really hasn't dropped that much as far as, how many steers and heifers are we killing? There's cow kills have been really low, and that's been kind of made up by some really big imports in the past 6 to 12 months. But now we're finally starting to come into, 1.5 to 2% less of the actual fed supply being killed. And clearly, even though they're killing fewer of them, clearly there isn't enough of them around right now because we're bidding up on the cash market, right? And under some extremely low or narrow packer margins, right? So just a lot of signals saying, there's not enough cattle out there. Packers have a little bit of a problem in front of them because they've started to slow their kills, still need to bid up for cattle. So that story is very much kind of revealing itself right now, I would argue. In the next couple of weeks, it's going to be really interesting. The other really interesting thing on that topic is what we're hearing from China on meat movement is not good. So why that matters is China takes a lot of the meat nobody else wants.
Yep.
A lot of the variety meats, and you know what I'm getting at, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those don't show up in like the box beef report. So when you calculate, what's the packer margin? That's kind of been some goodies on the side for the packer. Mm-hmm. Then what we're hearing will go away next week. So and really dig into packer margins. So we'll see once. If they keep bidding up, it's absolutely because they have no other choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the export registrations to be able to push product into China, they need to re-register, and China isn't getting them re-registered. So you're absolutely right, Jeff. There's a high level of uncertainty of just where that's going to go and what it's going to mean for some of those variety cuts. Good stuff, man. Hey, Jeff, when we come back, let's jump into the hog market and take a look at what's going on there. Then we'll talk some grains. We've got Jeff Hogendorn from Professional Ag Marketing here on AgriTalk.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. For July, HRW wheat futures were 2 cents lower at 5.98¾. July SRW down 5¼ cents to 5.73. May corn futures 6¾ cents lower, 4.58½. December corn futures closed at 4.51, down a penny and a quarter today. May soybean futures were 5¼ cents higher at 10.16. November beans closed at 10.18, up 6¼ cents on the day. December cotton today, 78 points higher, 69.98. On your livestocks, April fat cattle, $1.12½ higher, but 203.17½. April feeder futures up $1.22½ to 281.20. And April lean hog futures up $1 to 86.62½. Get more market news every market day. Simply visit tryprofarmer.com.
At National, Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit WisconsinSoybean.org.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owner's agent serving the Durand area is Jerry Thompson Insurance, a division of Ansay & Associates.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Warm and windy today. With gusts approaching 30 miles per hour, it'll shove us to highs in the mid-70s. And with spring-like conditions, bring spring storms. Those move in late tonight. They could be strong to severe with hail and high winds. Then tomorrow, occasional light rain. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon,
You've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Perfect. Welcome back. I'm Chip. We are in the middle of a conversation with Jeff Hoogendoorn, professional ag marketing up in southwest Minnesota. So just looking at my notes, Jeff, the last thing that I would say on cattle is it's going to be really interesting to see if, because, you know, when the stock markets are moving to the upside, anybody that's invested feels good. You get that perceived wealth effect going, and everybody keeps buying beef. Now that we've gone through a pretty choppy start to the year here, it'll be interesting to see if beef demand can survive that, if consumers stay confident enough to keep buying beef. That's the wild card, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And yeah. I think that's the right kind of attitude to take as far as using this market to be a broader indicator of a lot of the other commodities that we care about, right? The cattle should be kind of tip of the sword, and we didn't really get into it too much, but, you know, on days where you don't get solid or positive either box beef news or even more importantly cash news here in the past week and a half or so, the negative equities futures wanted to put pressure on these cattle futures. So, I mean, you look at a daily chart and it looks really bullish, right? Really no problems most days, higher highs and higher lows than the day before. But as we watched that kind of during the day, you could tell that the path of least resistance has been lower. Yeah. It's just we've had crazy good fundamentals, right? Yeah. That have been pushing these futures higher. I am very confident if cash would have been steady in that $1.98 to $2 range, we might have cattle futures in the low 190s, Chip, today.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of low 200s.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
How
much pressure I think is out there. So as you start looking around at some of the other markets, you know, you got to take that into consideration, because that same type of pressure is on really all of these agriculture markets in this past week.
Yeah, good stuff. Good observations, Jeff. Really good. What's it all mean for the hog trade?
Well, hog trade, you know, maybe even just a little bit more sensitive to the actual trade talk, right? So you kind of go back and forth here also of, okay, what are we worried about today? Are we worried about the broader economics and longer term type discussion like we've mostly been focused on with the equities and on the cattle market? Or are we really worried about the specific tariffs and specific retaliation? Because, you know, a lot of our, not as much as, you know, 8 years ago, but still a pretty good chunk of our pork goes to China, and then a bunch of it goes to Mexico, right?
Right.
And a bunch of our corn and wheat goes to Mexico. So that's why, like, the I forget what you called it, but those certifications for the exports to China.
The registrations.
Registrations, thank you. When that is being talked about here the last couple of days, and, you know, from my chair, I've kind of lost hope that they're going to get reinstated. Yeah. Hopefully I'm wrong about that. But that's weighing on the hog market a little bit more specifically than on the cattle side of things, right? Because it just seems like that trade has a chance of kind of being dead here going forward to China.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it definitely a risk. We've been here before, Jeff. We know what kind of a risk it is, and it changed that market for a long time. And we're still trying to recover from those tariff actions from 6-7 years ago. What are you thinking on risk management? And talk both cattle and hogs. What needs to get done?
Sure. So I'll start with the hogs here. You know, the hog market or the hog industry is a little different than the cattle for a lot of folks. You know, they've got pigs kind of coming at them, you know, every few weeks or every month or two or whatever. You know, in a low market, it's kind of like the freight train keeps coming at you. So you know, we are going to be just a little bit more aggressive here going forward. We're just a little bit more concerned about the long-term vision, maybe creating some shorter term pain, you know, as far as the tariffs goes. And if when we started this whole thing, we were very much in the camp of, well, it looks like we just want to, you know, fix a little bit of the border issues and some of this short term stuff. Well, for us in the last week here, it seems like the administration's focus has turned to a little bit longer term and trying to make some bigger adjustments, right? And so what that means for the pork industry for sure is it looks like we might be in the heat of battle here a little bit longer than what we anticipated. So that does have us kind of readjusting some of our targets a little bit lower. You know, summer markets have offered a ton of good opportunities. I know a lot of people did a lot of good business there and continue to. Same with October. Where it gets tougher is when you get into next winter. You know, we're not showing any positive margins out there. Not that that's crazy uncommon, but we probably got to start thinking about some margins that are just okay. You know, good, not great is how I like to look at it. That's a little tougher. We're really struggling. You know, we kind of base our recommendations kind of where we're at from a cycle perspective, you know, as far as, you know, how aggressive should we be on getting these cattle covered as we buy them type of thing. And from these break even levels, and from a standpoint of, yes, we've got some months ahead of us with some shorter supply numbers to it. But we just don't think we can take the risk from these break-evens being in the 190s and $2 area. We just think we really have to cover something on there. Yeah. And it's just not worth, you know, really even. I found myself today, you know, having conversations like, well, should we look for $3, $4 up, you know, to hedge some of these cattle we just bought? And, man, even that is, you're kind of taking a lot of risk, even though it's been going straight up, so it should fill those orders. You're still taking a lot of risk when you look at how far, how much higher we are than what we were, you know, obviously a couple of years ago.
Right, right. Hey, talk to me about the feeder cattle market, because, you know, we look at the discount that the front month live cattle are trading to the cash market. What this week would be, oh, a couple of bucks, maybe $3, something like that. But the feeder cattle market is trading at a big, big, big discount to the cash trade, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the cash trade, so that is screened higher here, obviously, with you know, all of the volatility we've had in the past 2 weeks. So that has actually shot higher, and the futures are struggling a little bit to keep up with it because the index has been dragging behind a little bit, you know, some of the cash values that we've actually seen, you know, take place in the barns and such are right. Have been higher than the index, and that's all trending higher. That's been some of the issue, I think, with the feeder cattle, and they'll probably get there. They're also going to continually price in from these type of levels, even though the trend is very much higher. These futures markets are going to price in just a little bit of negativity is maybe not quite the right word, but it's just you kind of run out of buyers when you keep pushing all-time highs, right? So it's hard for the market participants to come in here and be like, okay, we think the, you know, we're at 290 today. If that's what the cash feeders are bringing, we think we're going to be 295 next week. That's just that's a hard bet to place.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in the market, for this kind of thing. So I think that's a lot of it. They're always just going to be a little hesitant to fully capture what's going on in the marketplace, both on the live cattle side as well as on the feeder cattle
side.
That
makes good sense. Good sense. Okay. Holy smokes, this is going to get away from us. We only got a couple of minutes left here, Jeff. Give me your take on what's going on in the grains.
Well, I think here, too, is pretty much all been money movement back and forth, right? I know that sounds kind of obvious, but I think it's important to recognize that in these marketplace, Chip. First of all and foremost, it's like, you know, that has to be, you know, more than half of the equation in this type of an environment. So, you know, as you've watched these markets go back and forth, I think it's been probably closer to 2/3, you know, and whether you're looking at the corn market, soybeans, or on the wheat side, I mean, especially just you watch a move with the trade news, and then now, you know, since what was it, kind of Wednesday-ish, Tuesday-ish, mm-hmm. you know, we've gotten more and more concerned from an economic standpoint, and that seems to be putting a little extra pressure on the marketplace right now. So I think for the most part, that's what we're trading. We do have some fundamental stuff coming in here, you know, as far as none of it maybe super new, but you've got the South American crop progressing really well. You've got the big acres discussion that we've all been talking about the last few weeks, you know, putting a little bit of pressure on the marketplace. But, you know, in general, I think it's a lot more about money movement today. Yeah. Than what it is those specific fundamentals.
Yep. Sometimes you got to pay more attention to just the trade than the things influencing the trade, and follow the money. Jeff, great job, man. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
Same to you. Appreciate it.
All right, bud. That is Jeff Hoogendoorn. He is with Professional Ag Marketing up in Laverne, Minnesota. All right, we're going to wrap up this week's AgriTalk here in a moment.
David was in big trouble with the IRS.
At first, I didn't owe that much, but after this year, it was out of control.
Then David called Get a Tax Lawyer.
Right away, they were like, oh yeah, looks like you're qualified to save.
Get a Tax Lawyer went to work.
Should have called way sooner.
Get a Tax Lawyer has helped thousands like David fight the IRS and get a fresh start.
Call 800-745-3070. That's 800-745-3070.
No two people learn the exact same way. So how did Babbel become the award-winning language learning app? We thought of you. All of you. Take Sierra. As a visual learner, she uses Babbel's wordplay videos.
Today I'll share a quick lesson on shopping in French.
Merci beaucoup. Keith is a be-in-the-room-with-real-people kind of learner. So he loves the live online classes with our language experts.
Okay, class. Vos está pronto.
Estamos prontos.
However you learn, Babbel makes it easy. Try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-296-1251. 800-296-1251. That's 800-296-1251.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Turn your book idea into publishing gold.
800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
Manager for Plant Nutrition at Loveland Products. Ronald, give me an overview of the brand new Infinity. What is it?
We're excited to be introducing in 2025 a new biological solution, a tool that can help growers manage their nitrogen program. And that's going to be in this product, Infinity, which is designed to sort of work with Mother Nature to provide some supplemental nitrogen through the nitrogen cycle. So we have three modes of action: the live isolates to help get some nitrogen from the atmosphere. We're also going through a recruitment phase, which is taking everybody that already lives there and letting them know that there's action going on, so getting more nitrogen fixers active in that soil space. And then also the direct liberation of soil organic pools of nitrogen. So the idea, Chip, is kind of, again, working with those three mechanisms to try to get more nitrogen available for your crop and work with your nitrogen program.
Excellent, excellent. You know, there are other nitrogen efficiency products on the market. What makes Infinity different?
Well, Chip, other than those three modes of action, we're also quite excited that in Infinity, we have a product that can be mixed in with your in-furrow at plant nutrition. And so you can put this right in with your in-furrow at plant nutrition. We think that's going to give a great advantage to the grower for the convenience of being able to get this out there and into your program. Our Nutrien Ag Solutions stores are already bringing this product in, and so we're going to have it available for spring 2025. You can go to Loveland Products/Nitrogen Naturally. But what I would recommend is getting with your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant, sitting down, having that conversation, and figure out where Infinity can fit best on your acres.
Fantastic, Ronald. Thank you so much. That is Ronald Calhoun, Senior Marketing Manager for Plant Nutrition at Loveland Products.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Hey.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG. Looking at a weather map on AgriTalk
for the ladies.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Not just the ladies, either. You know, everybody. Come on in, guys. We're here for you as well. You know? Chip Flory is here.
I'll admit, I was sitting here thinking, okay, is this gonna should this be a role reversal thing? Do I need to sing a little Justin?
I wouldn't mind that a bit. I bet Joe would re-roll that for you too if you.
No need.
Because I let it pass by this morning. Need. I sat on my vocal cords this morning when it came through.
I hear you.
Okay, so. Great conversation there. You dudes were talking about the registrations and whatnot. Jeff Hogendorn. Sorry, you and Jeff Hogendorn talking about those. I had a story on it. We didn't get to it this morning. Just a little blurb here to catch everybody up. Scores of U.S. meat, poultry, and dairy facilities are facing potential export disruptions as their registrations with China's General Administration of Customs are set to lapse on March 16, with more expirations coming in April. The U.S. Meat Export Federation warned that most affected registrations remain unrenewed, Chip.
Yeah. So we had Dan Holstrom, CEO of U.S. Meat Export Federation, on the show. Was it Monday or Tuesday?
Something like that.
It was earlier this week.
Yeah.
And we got toward the end of the conversation, and he dropped that on me.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, what? It just hadn't been talked about much at all. And then Dan brought it up on the show, and it became – and, of course, they put out some, hey, heads up on this, press release or information on it as well. Mm-hmm. And this is pretty telling, is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If they intended to import any significant quantities, they would get these registrations up to date, and they just haven't. Yeah. So a couple of days left.
The 16th is what, Sunday? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And more to come in April there. Hogendorn, U.S. consumer, still buying beef. I don't know if it was his idea that you kind of elucidated or if it was your idea. I don't know. But the idea that, you know, pretty much everything else, Compare the cost of eggs 3 years ago to today and the cost of steak 3 years ago to today and look at it by percentage. And I think what I was hearing you guys say was the rest of food has gotten so much more expensive. People look at beef and they say, well, look, it's about the same. It's pretty much unchanged. It's pretty close anyway. Yeah, yep. I'm in for that.
Yeah, especially
it looks
the
cheap.
Steak.
It feels it, cheap that way, maybe.
Yeah, especially the steak prices.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Ground beef is a different story. Ground beef has increased in price over the past 3 years. But even at that, it is still considered and viewed as an affordable option. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, you put a pound of ground beef on the plate, on the table for a family of four, and everybody ends up feeling pretty good with what they had. Okay? So, and you can do that for what, a buck, buck and a half a piece?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that feels pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Interesting also to tie, and I've heard analyses like this sort of before, is, you know, feeder cattle or fat cattle or beef demand or whatever is sort of an economic indicator of sentiment. So we've seen the stock, the stock market's gone crazy, dude. The last couple of days.
I hadn't noticed.
I don't even look. Like, I look just enough so that you and I can be like, yeah, still crazy. That's as much as I'm looking right now. But as people begin to feel, if people begin to feel worse about the stock market, about their investments, about their retirement savings and whatnot, it would make sense. Well, jeez, we better. No, we're not doing ribeyes today. We're doing, you know, I don't know what you'd do instead, but it could change choices for the consumers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, you know, it's that perceived wealth effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it has an impact. There's no question. But like Jeff said, the American consumer still has money, obviously. Because I'm not just looking at beef and saying they're spending their money on beef. They're spending their money in other areas as well. So we've got to keep that in mind. And it's, you know, it's good until it isn't. Jeez, I hate that kind of stuff, but it's true.
No, that's right.
It's true. I mean, the beef demand is going to be a supportive factor until it isn't. And I don't know if we're going to be able to see it coming or not, or if it's just going to go, that's it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's it. You know what else is interesting?
What's that?
You've got a severe thunderstorm knocking on your door.
I've got some weather radar up in front of me. It looks like the gnarliest stuff right now is right along the Missouri border. Basically covers north to south, you know, from the northern Kansas border to the southern Kansas. Well, down into Oklahoma City a little bit, but right along that western Missouri border there. Wow. Yeah, red and yellow and all sorts of pretty colors. Look out, points east. It's headed your way. She's firing over here.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be moving pretty quick, too, guys.
Indeed.
Just pay attention to it. Looking at the wind gusts, it continues to get a little bit more gnarly out there, no question. All right, National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook for March 20th through the 24th. Above normal temperatures across the Corn Belt, north to south, east to west. On the rainfall side, we've got near normal precipitation expected in the northern production areas and basically down eastern Iowa, central Missouri, and western Arkansas. To the points west of that, looking at below normal precip. To the points east of that, Illinois, and east, looking at above normal precipitation. Thank you so much for listening today and this week. For Big Apple Joe and for Davis, I'm Chip. Come on back Monday morning. Greg Peterson, Davis will get your week started right here on AgriTalk.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the dermed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Jackson Hewitt wants you to save money on tax prep. We're saving money by having our intern rap in this commercial.
Don't stress. Jackson Hewitt's got expert tax prep, $149 or less. Yo, some tax guys lie about price. Wait, they got hidden fees. That ain't nice.
Ain't nice.
Don't ignore MC Kevin's rhyme, because this deal's for a limited time. $149.
For tax prep that's $149 or less, hurry into Jackson Hewitt today.
No cap.
Limited time offer for new clients on federal returns. Participating locations only. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com/149.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a test vote expected in the Senate as Congress barrels toward a midnight deadline to extend government funding to avert a shutdown. The Senate minority leader now says he will not oppose the House.